हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय हरि बोल जय जय हरि बोल. Okay, so then continuing with just the outline of the 64 arts, where we get into the rest of the descriptions and that. Then you have, I think we went up to 20. So 21, the art of jugglery. You know, so how you things like that. Kauchamara, a kind of art, doesn't say any detail of that. And then 23, art of sleight of hand. You know, how to do things where you distract, so you're doing something, you move your hand like this, so everyone looks there, and then with this hand you do something, and all those kind of things. So we see here is that those kind of arts and that, that physical magic and stuff like that, then these are, you know, part of some fun and things that you can do to create, kind of an interaction, entertainment, a lively atmosphere. The whole idea of the 64 arts is how people can interact with each other, you know, and create a nice atmosphere, something to do together, something to, you know, means that you're involved in or you're watching, or things like a drama you're watching, you're not, or you can be involved, but I'm saying a group of people can be around watching, a group of people are performing, you know, or it's things that you are specifically getting involved in, or things that you do that will make, a nicer environment, you know, like dressing properly and doing all the different things like that. Then 24, art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and delicious food, right? So you're going to have all the different aspects of food. So you're going to have salads will be all these like preliminary things, ones, the raw things like that, but these, like these appetizers and things that come before bread, you know, the different kinds of ways you make the bread. Cakes will be various kinds of sweets and that are done, and delicious food and any other kinds of things, just making nice food, you know, the main part of the meal and everything like that. And then 25, art of practically preparing palatable drinks and tinging draughts with red color. Right, so you're going to have always something to eat and something to drink, right? Even in the deity worship, you're offering naivedya and paniya jalam, you know, means something to drink. There's something to eat, something to drink. They go together. And so it means how to make the different kinds of palatable drinks and how to tinge them with, you know, red color to make them, you know, very attractive, because red colored drinks are always very nice, always attractive to drink. Yeah. 26, art of needleworks and weaving, right? So how you're dealing with thread in the way of you're going to, you know, sew something together, you know, or you're going to weave things together, you know, or, you know, in using your needle, you're going to fix something that's woven, or you're going to fix something that's already sewn like that, or making designs or embroideries or anything that you can do with a needle and thread or with weaving, all those different kinds of arts will be there. So you see it's generally given here. And then depending upon, the background and what's there, then you'll get a variety of things that people who are working and making fabrics and that, then they would know how to do this. Otherwise, you know how to work with them, how to make things from them. 28, art of playing on a lute and small X-shaped drum. Right, X-shaped drum is the dim-dimmy. Like that, they come out, and they're big at the top, get small in the middle, and big at the top. So it has the leather at both ends, you know, like that. And, you know, it's pulled tight, but the dim-dimmy comes pulled into the middle. It's not like other drums. And then that you can hold, and it has a string that has a a weight on it that can hit both ends, so you can play it like this, like that. And some of them, there's also ones that are that small ones would be with the hand. There's also bigger ones that'll be like that big, and they have the tightening strings, and that it goes on a strap over the shoulder. And you still, the point of the X-shaped is that you can hold the middle, so you have control of it. So this one, you hold the middle here, and if you push on it, it makes the heads on the drum tighter. And if you release it, it become less tight and become lower. So then they have a nice little curved stick, you know, nice quality, and then they can play the drum like that and make different sounds while they move it. And you'll see that, like in Kerala, in the Guruvayur temple, they use that when they're singing for the deities, Gita Govinda for the deities, when they have their meals. So you just have, you know, various kinds of drums that are there, of those. And then lute will be simply be the like the South Indian, the Saraswati Veena. That would be a lute, you know, where it has the bigger round end, and then it comes out. Generally they're made of wood, then it has the strings, so they give a very nice rich sound. So I guess the two of them also go well together, that you can play nicely. Those keeps nicely you know, so simple you play, and then someone can play the drum and that. And then 29, a art of making and solving riddles. And 29b, art of capping or reciting verse for verse as a trial for memory or skill. So those are both count as 29. So making and solving riddles means you have to be able to think of words, how to put them together so that they flow nicely, so that you either are getting across, or you know, kind of like alluding to meanings, hiding meanings, so that it becomes a riddle. So then it's something to do, it's something you can think, or reciting verse is a trial for memory or skill. So then you have that it's going to be one of the things, like we see in the, you know, the children, you know, you teach them verses, they learn the verses and all those things. And by learning like that, then it also extends the memory, and that gives a stronger memory. So in the Vedic system, then the students would go to the, you know, either at home or in the school, then they would learn verses, you know, like that. If they're at the school, generally they would learn the Vedic verses. And so those are all memorized, or at home one could, you know, study, learn things like Bhagavad Gita or other, you know, such works, or songs or poems and like that. And so this one makes it so that it's nice to recite. You have a gathering and somebody's reciting poetry, you know, or you can have fun amongst friends. It's like a very common thing to do, that the Brahmins would be sitting around, and just for passing the time, someone would say a verse, right? Just from memory. And whatever syllable it ends on, the next person has to start a new verse from that syllable. And then he says his verse, or what it says, the next person has to go, or the two go back and forth. And they go until someone doesn't have a verse that matches that last thing in that. So you can see this, if you know a lot of verses, then generally you can keep going on this for a long time, you know. And if you don't know many verses like that, then you might be go out quickly. But so it's just different ways of being able to have some interaction like that. I'm not sure if it's mentioning here, if it'll come up. Oh, that's enigmatic verses. Okay, so this is riddles themselves, that you're saying something and then you're alluding to something, and then they, because there's something even more enigmatic verses. So the yeah. Yeah. Okay. Verse 30. I mean, art 30. Art of practicing language difficult to be answered by others. So there's also a way that you can speak, that you say something and others don't necessarily know how to answer. Either, you know, it's something that's outside of what they were thinking about their experience, or it creates situations of which something can be difficult to say, you know, like in the environment you're in, to answer it, then wouldn't work good in that environment, or, you know, different kinds of ways of speaking to make it difficult for answer. Because that way then, if you're dealing, you know, just for fun, then you can do and play tricks and like that, you say something and then they're embarrassed, they can't say something. Or let's say you have those who in discussions or arguments, they simply, you know, either making difficulty for others or that, then you speak to them in a way they can't answer, just to get them to be quiet. Or someone's showing off how intelligent they are and trying to show their superiority. So you might, you know, in a very pleasant way, ask them a question, but do it in such a way that it's very hard to answer, you know, so then it makes them think, okay, I'm not the only smart one here. I mean, I've seen that, you know, I mean, it's not an uncommon thing that you have in an environment where people are skilled, and then somebody is feels themselves to be more skilled, but they have an attitude about it. And so generally speaking, you know, that Krishna mentions that the aspect of knowledge is humility. So people who have good knowledge, good skills, they'll be humble. And so they may be humble in the environment. The person who's proud, you know, can take advantage and feel that they have some, you know, some superiority here. But then these others, in a very simple way, can just show something that then they others know that, oh, yeah, this guy knows something like that. I didn't see it in the way of language, but I saw it in another, is that we had our Mridanga teacher in the school. And, you know, he was, you know, a very advanced Mridanga player and that. But, you know, being Bengali and that, they have that culture and they respect seniors and this and that. So at one point we had somebody, I don't know how he was there, how it got arranged. I think the Mridanga teacher arranged him. He was a guy, I think his name was Panchanand. And he was considered, you know, in his day, one of the best or the best kirtanier in Bengal. And so he's very famous because he had a voice. He could, you know, sing up, I think it's sweet. Maybe it's why the punch came. He could sing five octaves or something like that. So really, you know, wide range. And, you know, he had his Mridanga player and, you know, came with his own, because it's always easier. You sing, you know, you have your own Mridanga player and all that. And so then you don't have to worry that they don't know what to do and all that. So the Mridanga teacher, since the other guy was playing drum and all that, he just took some kartals, these little dinky kartals, the manjira. You know, you play them on the side and, you know, they're very simple. So he's just sitting there and playing. And, you know, the guy's playing his Mridanga and doing, you know, naturally he's the Mridanga player will be trying to show off. And the singer is just singing because it's just, you know, the kids and the teachers and things like that, and showing some things and all. So he'll be showing nice things, but he's not necessarily trying to impress them by, you know, showing off in the way of ego. He'd just do nice things that are attractive and all that. And at one point, he even sang some really high note and all that. But yeah, but the Mridanga players, you know, doing all his far out things and all that. And then while that was going in the beginning, the Mridanga teacher, our Mridanga teacher, was just playing, you know, simply the kartals. But as they got into some more complex songs, he started playing the things, not just playing the kartal, because you have some of these long beats, because when you get into this kirtan, especially into Leela kirtan and these aspects, then they use... everything goes, you have, it means you start, the lowest is 4, 6, and I think 7 beats, right? Now you double 4, you get 8, right? You double 6, you get 12. You double 7, you get 14, right? 8 double, you get 16. Does that make sense? You know, 12 double, you get 24. 14 double, you get 28. 16 double, you get 32. So like that, the beats that are there in a cycle, music cycle, will go up to, the longest are like 256, but at least in those days, no one played more than about, or you know, biggest ones are more around the 50, 60 kind of things like that. But our Madanga teacher, he knew the mantras up to 256 and he could play up to 108 like that. And so then for the karta, when you're playing the beats, they have a way of counting them so you know what you're doing. You know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like this kind of thing. And they do all these different things to, you know, count them and all that. Most people don't know that at all. They know they can play the kartals, or they can sing and they can just keep the beat. You know, they know it's okay. It's, you know, 8 beats or 12 beats or 16 beats. They can, you know, they can keep the beat. But, you know, to be able to do the things and then, you know where they are and which is the tal and all those things like that, then they don't know. They just know how to sing it. They just know the art. They don't actually know the science behind it. So the Madanga teacher is there. He's playing the things and he's doing those things. Because when he got into the long, when he's doing simple ones, he just, like, simple. When he got into the long ones, he started doing those, but not exaggerating. Just, you know, doing because that would be the way you keep the beat, you know, and then, you know, doing all those kind of things. And the Madanga teacher noticed that. Then his whole pride and that thing kind of went down. He just became normal and just played. And afterwards, then, you know, after they finished that kind of song, he asked them, says, so, you know, you've been trained in this, you know, what do you know like that? And he says, oh, you know, I learned Madanga and things like that. And then he's asking, oh, okay, well, from who did you learn? And when he mentions this teacher, then the Madanga player, then he knows, okay, don't mess with this guy. His teacher is like, you know, his teacher is one of the top in Bengal. So, yeah, and this guy's doing all this stuff. So, okay, I don't show off in front of this guy anymore, right? You know, so that's the kind of thing that we're meaning here, is that you're difficult to be answered by others. You know, there's something you're trying to prove a point. You know, you're trying to chastise someone. You're trying to, you know, get someone to reduce their false ego and all that. Or they're making trouble. You get them to stop like this, you know, or just some fun. You're with friends and you say something they can't answer and then everybody laughs. And, you know, so different ways you could use these things. But these are all part of the subtler, you know, Vedic culture, where it's based on interaction of people, you know, based on relationships, based on taste, on rasa, stuff like that. So it's things that you wouldn't think, oh, what's that for? But it comes in very, very handy if somebody's coming. Remember also once two elder Bengali gentlemen, they were probably both in like their 70s or something like that, 70s or so. And they were both like aristocratic backgrounds, but I kind of got the idea that there was some little bit of rivalry between the two of them. What was the background? This I didn't know, because they would come up in a cultured way, you know, words and all that, and tone of voice. They would say things that the other person wouldn't be able to say anything on. It was just, they were just snubbing the other person. Because the other person, if he said anything on it, he either has to talk more on that subject, which is embarrassing, or he has to acknowledge it. So then each one would say something that take it off in some way. And they did that for some time. You know, it was like a minute or two like that, while we were there with someone else, some senior devotee, and he was talking to somebody. And so until he started talking to them again, they just did this to each other for, you know, some time like that. So it's part of the scene. 31, art of reciting books. Right. So then, you know, the book, but it's not even just that you can say it, but also to bring out the points, you know, what's there, you know, how to, so it'd be like dramatic reading, right? You know, it's like when you have, it's not an uncommon thing, and new books come out or something, or even they're not, that's popular books or like that. Then a big bookstore that has, you know, kind of space and that and things, then they might have a dramatic reading by either the author of the book themselves will come and read, And that, or somebody might who's very good at reading and dramatic reading, and so they'll come and then they'll read, and everyone just sits and listens. So it's kind of it would be as if people are, there's no acting. You're just doing the reading the parts as if there's acting, right? Like that. 32, art of enacting short plays and anecdotes, right? Because there's short ones that are just there. How to put them together, make it flow nicely, get something done, it's complete in itself. So anecdote, just very short little things. You're just doing the pastime of how you say, Nisringa day of killing Hiranyakashipu, so there'll be that little bit of, okay, is your God, here is he, here is he in the pillar, yes, and then that, and out comes Hiranyakashipu. Nrisimha Dev, and then there's a fight, and then he kills them. You just do those essential points, that are made. About harassing Pallad, and about his God everywhere. Is he in the pillar? And then the fight, and then Hiranyakashipu in his classic way, putting him on the lap and killing him. And that's all. That's the whole thing. You don't have to do more. And a short play then will be there'll be a particular theme to it. Want to bring out a particular point. It doesn't have to have the full development of drama and all that. So the drama has like 10 acts to it, but one act then is just there's some aspect, some pastime or something you want to bring out, and it has more detail. It's not just a portion of the one. It'll be for just like let's say a one act play, you might have Vamanadeva coming and then it being seen, and then Bali Maharaj, inviting and then giving the steps of land, and then Vamanadeva taking everything from him. Right? And then, and then some discussion and some glories at the end, like that, So, you fill it out, but if you just want to do the anecdote, you just have him say the steps of land and then take the three steps and then put his foot on his head. So it's just enough to get across the flavor of the pastime. While the one act would actually be going out and be more lines going on and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. 33, art of solving enigmatic verses. So then verses that may be very difficult to understand and that, that are very tightly made. That I think it's the in Vyasadeva is explaining about the writing of the Mahabharata. No, I think it's Suta Goswami's mentioning that because they ask how did it come to be written and that. And so then Vyasadeva wanted to write it, have it written. So he wants to speak it. But he needs someone to write it down so he doesn't have to concentrate on the writing. He just concentrates on speaking. So then Ganesh agreed to write it. But he said, what do you call it? But he said is, I cannot be just sitting idly waiting for you when you go, well, maybe there's no, yeah. He said he won't stand for that. You speak, I'll write. And then Vyasadeva said, okay, but as long as you only write what you understand, means hearing the verse, understanding it, you write it. You're not just writing and just the words, you're understanding it. So Ganesh agreed. So in that, I think it's mentioned there's 8,888 verses that are so, grammatically so tightly woven in themselves that Ganesh would have to stop for a minute to think about it before he understood it. Then he could write it. And that would give Vyasadeva a moment to kind of compose of what he wants to do on the flow of verses again, and then start then speaking again. So basically, every like 12,000 verses, then he threw, right? Wouldn't it be 12,000? No, it would be less. 12,000. No, every like 10, 15 verses he puts in one of those or wherever he needs to put. If you have a nice idea of what you're doing, then he's speaking. So these would be like that. And so you have to be able to see what is going on in there. what is the connection? Because so many times then many people just do is one word, one meeting, and this and that, and one connection. But many times how Sanskrit's written is that you use one tense that's there, and all these different words in that tense connects with the verb in that, with that way. So that way, that verb is connected with all those nouns. And so you don't have to use the verb each time. He went here, he went there, he went here, he went there. You know, all these places, you can just, he went and all these places. But so it's grammatically, they're held together. So wherever they are for the poetry, then they're there. Does that make any sense? Yes, no, okay. 34, art of designing preparations of shield, cane, and arrows. Right, so how to put those different things together, you know, how to build, you know, make shields, how to make or it's the preparation of shields and arrows from cane, whatever. Or anyway, working with cane, how to build the different things with it, and that can do. Art of spinning by spindle, right? Because you have to make the threads. How you do that, you have the your ball of it's not even yarn yet. It's just the raw material, how to pull out from there. And then you have to take it and put it on your, so and spin it. And so how to do that, that you actually make the threads or the yarn. And then from that, then you can make it like we saw before. You can do needlework with it. You can weave with it, all those different things. And then afterwards you have to be able to put that onto you have the larger, by spindle, the larger one and the smaller one, where you can put then all this onto there, or put it onto bigger rolls and stuff like that. But it's basically the spinning wheel and the spindle, how to use both of those and everything. So in other words, you can take from raw material, make thread or yarn. From that, you can do sewing, knitting, and weaving. So in other words, you know, from raw material up to finished product, right? That's the whole idea, is that you would, you know, you'd know these arts. It means of the 64 arts, basically you say the queens would know maybe all the arts. Radharani knows all the arts, but then the queens, depending on how high they are, they would know more. Like someone like Kunti Devi, or Draupadi, they would know more, most of all these things, you know, to a very good degree. Others may know to some degree, and that, and so those others might know only some of them, you know, like this. So whatever it is, the more you know of them, or the higher the level, then it's like the culture is considered more refined and all that. So, you know, that way, because the idea in here is that you see is that it's not even just arts, but it's also independence. Because there's always the thing is, oh, if you're devolved in these, how am I independent? The independent is you can do everything. You're not dependent on others. Like say someone's in the theatrics, so they know how to put together the dramas. They know how to do that. They know how to the singing. They know the dancing. They know the music and the instruments like that. They also know the dress. They know the makeup. They know all these things. And in fact, if we go into this, they can create their own clothes and all that. They can go out and get their own unguents and that to make for the makeup and all the different things. And in other words, whatever there is there, like you see, it comes up carpentry and all these different things. They could build a theater. They could do everything. So you don't need anybody else. If the others are there, it just makes it go nice. But if you're not dependent, you're more in control. So the more you know, that creates the independence. We think independent, no, I do whatever I want, whenever I feel like, however I feel. That's one kind of independence. That's okay if you're detached, right? You just move around. You're not under anyone's control because you have nothing. You have no place. You have no this, that. You just wander as it goes. Like we'd see the sages might do that and stuff. So that's that kind of independence. But then to want to do that and maintain that, no, all my attachments I can do and all that, but it's not even my own thing. I can do whatever I want in someone else's field. No, that's cheating. That's illegal. You can be independent in your own field means you can do everything in the field. So this idea that, oh, the ladies in the house are not independent is They can do stuff that others can't do. Bring in one of these big, boss girls and that, and okay, why don't we cook something? They can't cook. They can't go to the market. They wouldn't know how to cut the things. They wouldn't even know how to grow them in the field. Start with the ground, plow it, make it nice like that, grow your own things, how to harvest them, how to store them, how to pickle them. None of that. That's independence. So that's the problem is, as you come up with a bogus idea of what's independence. I'm rich because I have this. Now, whoever has the most of these is the most rich. It's kind of like, what? No, gold is rich, not this. But I make up my own idea of what is there. And then, because I can present it nicely, then people foolishly think, oh, that makes sense. And then they follow it. And it's just a waste of everybody's time. Okay, next, 36, art of carpentry. We mentioned that, yeah, they could build their own theater. Here's the carpentry. So how to work with the things and like that. And they can do amazing things with it. It's not just just bang something together, but there are those who they can fit and make the whole furniture without using any nails or screws. Right? They can fit everything so everything locks together and all that, and then you have something. So, amazing, do all the beam work, do all the different things. And you see some of these old things. There are old buildings of wood that are hundreds of years old just because they're made, or furnitures that are hundreds of years old because they're made so well. Well, nowadays, you go out and you buy yourself, you go to that, whatever it is, one of those Nordic, what do you call it? Home appliance place and like that, and buy something, and you get 2 years out of it, and that's nice. You get five, ooh, like that. But you talk about before they made furniture; it was in the house. Your grandfather made it. You're using it. It's still good. It's not about to fall apart. No, it's good. So that's the thing is, before they knew how to do these things, you can say, oh, that's this, like, no, it says you can't do that. None of the nowadays people don't even know how to, all they can do is exploit a situation they're in. They can't do it themselves. They can't create it. They can only, someone else did it, come take it away from them and sell it. I'm the superior because I can sell it and make the money, but you can't make it. If those people aren't there, you have nothing to sell. So then they just, then it just becomes, pillage and burning, and that's it. That's kind of like, okay, art of engineering, right? How you put things together depending upon the material that you're working there. And that, then you have to be able to know what it can do and how to make it and everything like that. So we see here's also the carpentry and engineering will go together, because also, as it means, if you're just doing, you have to use some engineering to build something. It's small, but if you're doing bigger things like a house or like a chariot, then they were considered mechanics. They were carpenters, in this case, engineer, how to put all those things together. They have to be able to understand and put it together, or how to build the house, what material's built out of, then accordingly, then you have to make the walls, this, how high the ceilings, how big the rooms you have to do. Remember what going in one gentleman's house in Calcutta back in the probably 70s, 80s. Then he was, he showed us around his house, and we went through the different rooms, and he pointed up at the ceiling. And he pointed out that they were very big rooms. There were no beams. So, and he had told them how to build the house. He just got the different, laborers that worked in the brick and this and that, but he did it in such that he told them how to do it, that there were no beams. You couldn't see any beams. He built them into the ceiling. Well, most would put the beams underneath, the ceiling sits on top. This, they were inside. So when you just saw this, simple thing. So nowadays, yeah, everybody has like that. But the point is you have to know what you're doing to do that. Right? So, that kind of stuff. Then 38, art of testing silver and jewels, right? To be able to tell what's the quality of the silver, what's the quality of the jewels and everything, because you have jewels. One, they have to look nice. And two is that you're using them because they do have the influence of the planets. You want to make sure that they're proper for what is there, or for things, just like things that you're going to wear have to be of higher quality than, let's say, things that you're using for decoration. Like you might put into a tapestry, you might put jewels into it, or into some inlaid work, you know, a table or something, or in the wall or in a painting, then you might put jewels. They don't have to be as high a quality as the ones that you would wear. So you have to be able to test and tell what's the quality of them, right? One is for using, two is that they look properly, three is then the economic element that you don't get cheated, you know, like this and all that. 39, art of metallurgy. Like you take your silver to someone and then they test on the stone. Oh, this is only this percent. But you know the thing, you say, no, it's this percent. You know. And then when you say as that's what it is by being able to tell the color on the stone, then they know what you're talking about. It's like going to the rickshaw wala, you walk out and the rickshaw wala doesn't know you, so hey, can you take me down to you know, Hulagat or that? And he says, yes, 150 rupees. And then you look at him and go, 8 rupees. And then he goes, 10. And then he takes you, right? Because he knows you know, right? But otherwise, he's 150. Oh, that's too much. I won't pay any more than 120. And they go, no, 110, like that. And then you find like that. But he's already ripped you off for already, you know, how you say, you know, way more than what it is. So that kind of thing is that you have to be able to test and know. Otherwise, you know, you get cheated. If you know, people leave you alone. The art of metallurgy, right? How to deal with the metals, how they're this, you know, how you're there, you know, you smelt them. You can start from iron ore. So again, we're starting from, you know, testing silver and jewels. You're starting from back raw materials. How to work with them, how to get metallurgy, how to take raw material and smelt it and purify it and do all the different things so that you can get your big particular qualities of what you want. So these would be aspects of the culture that people nowadays don't know anything, right? It means, yeah, they can get get their way around a computer, a phone and some technical things like that. But you know, you know, a toaster might freak them out. Means literally, I'm not joking. You know, so that's the thing is they don't know how to do anything. You know, it's okay. I have that what do you call it? It's like a thing that you pour, and you electric, and it boils water, and they can
Kettle.
a kettle, yeah, and they can pull the top off a plastic thing, and pour the water inside, and then. You know, with great self-control, wait for you know, close to 5 minutes for it to actually get itself together. But you know, if they don't mind it after, you know, 4 minutes, then they'll start eating. Top's a little chewy, but as you go, by the time you get farther down, then it's cooked like that. And you know, so and that's kind of like their cooking talent. You know, it can stick something in the microwave, you know, push the button, you know, like that. You know, it's like, you know, you have your special, you know, fork or spoon or spatula that you have stuck in the door of the what do you call it, microwave to keep the door shut, you know, because it's been broken for, you know, some time. So like this is that there's no idea how to deal with anything or anything like that. But before, they could work with raw material from everything. So everything, so we saw anything your house is made out of, you knew the art of how to deal with it. You know, it's the wood, how to do all the different things, you know, like that. And then whatever else is made of, you know, your furnitures, your fabrics, your clothes, your food, you could deal with all that. And so if you do that, it's not that you have to do it, but if you know, you can get other people to do. You know if they're doing a day's work. You can garden, so you have a gardener come over. You know if he did a day's worth of work there. But if you don't know gardening, you can say, oh, that'll take 2 weeks when you know it only takes 3 hours. And if they think you don't know, they will do that. You know? So metallurgy, how they can make, you know how the ring is made. So you know with this, oh yeah, well, how much does that oh, that'll be, you know, take 20 grams of gold. Says, no, it won't. That'll only be like 12 grams. No, but you're this and that. So they want to say is that, yeah, it came out to that, but we started with 20 and then you have to cut it back and all that. So all of it's lost. No, it's not lost. You have your guy sitting there with that leather thing there and he's carving on all the things go into the thing. I don't know if you've ever seen them when they work on it and they're filing and all that to get things just exactly right, you know, set the stone and that. All those little, you know, what are just very small, like almost like dust filing, go into this leather apron, and then that they put into something. And this way, over time, they get so much gold. You know, they'll say, "Oh, it's lost." No, it's right there. You know, your workmanship, yeah, that you can talk about, but don't say that you lost that gold. You know, like that. 40, art of tinging jewels, like you want to make them different colors. You know, nowadays they do that to cheat, right? Means you have, let's say, emeralds and they're not good quality, so they're very light, so they try to tinge them to make them darker green, so you think, oh, this is very good, or things like that. But before it would be more of that, no, the quality was good, so if you're doing the jewelry, you had best quality. But let's say you have a green outfit, but you're supposed to use rubies, so you tinge the rubies green. So it's more for creating, you know, aesthetically, but you have high quality jewels, so you just make them a different color, that's all. Does that make sense? It's a different kind of thing. Like I saw, the art of mineralogy, right? So, because mineralogy is then you know what things are where, how to get, you know, where do you get your salt from? Where do you get your clay from? Where do you get the gold from? The silver from? Where are the jewels? You can tell by what's around, what goes with all these things. You can tell where the mines are, where the things are, and that way people can't cheat you. You know, and you get your work done. You know, it's one advantage, you know what to look for, and two, people can't cheat you. Oh, there's nothing here. Oh, there's maybe a little bit here. When there's a lot there, you know, people means in the material world we see is, you know, what do you call it? Making mistakes, cheating, illusion, and imperfect senses. So cheating is, you know, right there. It's high on the list. 42, art of practicing medicine or medical treatment by herbs. All right, so how you use the medicines and all that. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the whole science like the Ayurveda, but you know how to take the different herbs and all that and what they do, and you can therefore create, you know, home remedies and all that. Because if something's serious, you go to the doctor, but otherwise, other things you take care of yourself. Someone's got a cold, a sneeze, a little bit of a fever. You know, a rash, a cut, a burn, like you can take care of yourself with the herbs. They're just growing in your garden, or you grow them, or you go out in the forest and collect what you need to do. That, yeah. So the idea is that people were self-sufficient when it came to regular medical things. Something more serious, that you went to the doctor, like that. But otherwise, you took care of it yourself, you know. That was the standard before. So if you go back in time, even before allopath came up, people knew how to take care of these things. They knew what to eat and what season and that. I saw a book, a cookbook from, you know, 100, more than 120 years ago. There was an official cookbook of the American White House, you know, how they cooked, you know, what were the recipes and everything like that. And according to the season, and what was in season, you know, I mean, in other words, what the weather was like and what was available, they had all the recipes. And this season you cook this, and that season you cook that. You don't cook things out of season. Something that heats the body, you only use it when it's cold. And something that cools, you only use in the summer and things like that. They would put these all together. So previously, you go back in time before, like we said, before allopath. And it was something that you were careful about because the thing of allopath, no, you can always use it any time. That means they make one medicine they can use it for everything, right? Rather than they have to have a few different ones for a few different times, you know, so much more trouble, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So people were more independent when it came to the medicine and their health, right? They already knew proper how to varieties of the salad. bread, cake, and delicious food. In other words, it was good. It tasted nice. Not this whole modern thing, no taste, it doesn't look great, it no taste, no flavor, no nothing. But supposedly it's supposed to be very good for you. But the point is, if it doesn't, digestion starts when you see the food and smell the food. You see it looks attractive. You smell it, you touch it, and it's got the proper consistencies. Like that. You mush it together. That's part of the digestion. Then it goes into the mouth, and then you chew it, then you swallow it. But digestion's already started from the time you see and smell. So these kind of things are not known in the modern thing. It means they know that it's attractive, but they only know it in as much as marketing, right? You see on the signboard, a sandwich place, and the picture of the sandwich that's there, you will not find in any one of their branches all over the world a sandwich looking like that. In fact, nobody in the shop would know how to make it like that. In fact, the guy running the shop wouldn't even allow you to make it like that. So the point is that it's if it's for marketing they do, but in actuality, no. So yeah, here. 43, art of knowing the mode of fighting of lambs, cocks, and birds. Right? So then you know how they're going to fight and everything like that. One, you know if anything's serious or not, but also you always have the entertainment. You can say, oh, no, but that's not it. That, like goats and lambs, they love to butt heads. Goats just get together, boom, get back, boom, boom. They love doing that. And as soon as you say, hey, they just run off. They're not actually upset. It's just that's how they have fun. Like bears wrestle, like baby bears, they're always wrestling and falling all over like out of each other. So, these others, they like to fight and stuff. 44, art of maintaining or knowing conversation between male and female cockatoos. So you can either know it, you know what they're saying, but you can also maintain a conversation with them. Like that. It means it's like you have Suk and Sari, then they're the parrots in Brudge. They're the head of all the parrots. And they talk about the pastimes. Because they can be in the kunj, everybody else is left. Suk and Sari hang out there all night, so they can tell you all what happened. So in the morning after, when they go, then everybody listens and this and that, or they can also be sent to go, spy. What's going on? Where's this and that? Who's over there? And this and that. Take messages. Like that, and send them that, and they can go and do. But because they're birds, so people just birds go anywhere. But at the same time, as you know how to talk to them, they can tell you stuff like that. So yeah, it's one of the 64 arts. Not as well known these days. 45, art of healing or cleaning a person with with perfumes. Right. So you have what do you call it? Stinkpurdiology,
Aromatherapy.
aromatherapy, yes. So then, you have this fragrance that does this, this one makes you sleep, and this one makes your spirits better, and all these kind of things like that. And so then, there was a thing before you could do that with that. Someone had a headache, then certain aromas would get rid of that, and things like that. So you'd have nicing or how to clean somebody with them, what things to be used. And that, because you have these unguents and all that, and how to use them. Like I see what like colored unguents, as colored unguents and cosmetics, but it's also then how to clean and all that with them. You take the chickpea flower or some other things like that, and then you put these different herbs in them, and then you put how much water you put it on, and you let it dry, then you clean that off, and then there's so many different things you can do, and it all makes everything very fragrant, nice. 46, art of combing hair, right? Because it's not just, you have to know where you start from, how you do, what's the technique, like that. Otherwise, you end up with rats, right? Rats, not good, right? No? You don't have that saying? That means, like, ratty hair means you can't run a comb or a brush through it because it's so entangled. Right? Yeah, so you have to know the thing and also then how they can do and make designs with the hair and different things and how you like that. Yeah, because it's also it's like you know, like they're braiding and they'll do that and have the thing and then they'll have the right how they hold the comb, you know, like that while they do things and use the end of the comb to get in there and get things, or you want to put jewels in there, you know, all these different things. 47, art of talking with letters and fingers. Right, like that. So you can also with your hands and do all kinds of things. So that way you can, you want to tell somebody something, but you don't want to make any sound and you can use like sign language. But then, you know, now you have a modern thing where they use the whole body and everything like that. But before they could do everything with the hands and everything like that. I can't remember what, who was it? Who was that? I don't remember what pastime it was. But it's, it was some pastime where some situation came up where, you know, at some big gathering or something, the prince and the, a prince and a princess, they somehow or another saw each other, and I think they were very attracted, but she was leaving with her entourage. And all that, and he would want to know who she is. So she asked, and then she gave some indication, you know, did, you know, like this with the lightning and some other things. And then if you knew the histories and everything, you would know that those go to that dynasty. Because she can't just say, hey, this is my phone number, you know, because others will, can, may be able to understand also. So she even has to hide that. And then he puts that together. What would that be? And that, oh, that's this dynasty. Oh, she's like that. Yes, no? Okay. You know, or you know, in the modern things, you know, you're sitting there like that, and somebody's talking and saying something stupid, and then someone else in the family, you know, uses their elbow or gives them a kick in the shins, you know, that kind of stuff. But before you could do it with the hand things, you know.
You also see it in formal situations where they want to tell the secretary or somebody to go and do something. They'll just like
Right.
look or indicate with a finger, and they
Yeah.
do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or like the servants are doing things and so they don't have to talk and you don't disturb the situation. Yeah. You know, and it's subtle. It's not, you know, that you have to make some big dramatic, you know, thing, you know, it's just some thing, hand gestures. Okay. 48. What are we doing? 48. Art of fabricating barbarous or foreign sophistry. Can you could you look up the word sophistry? Because to get the exact meaning, because it I think it gets used in different ways.
It's the use of clever but false arguments with the intention
Clever.
of deceiving.
Okay, sophistry is clever. Yeah. So barbarous or foreign sophistry, right? It means that you know how to deal with all these different different groups and all that. So people will come up with you know their arguments and everything like that, and they try to defeat you in an argument. I think also it would be known as like a sophistry or rhetoric. It's like techniques of winning an argument and then how they'll put it together. And you know, you have to practice language difficult to be answered. And you know, you put these things together. So, depending on where it is, the different lands, they kind of have a different w their own particular way of using their sophistry, you know, or you're dealing with, you know, outside the cities and in the country, you know, you're dealing with the tribals or the more rough groups and all that, and they have their own techniques and all that. So you knowing these things, then you can put things together and deal with these people. And that works, you know. So it's something to know, you know. And so it's just you know these things of how they deal, how they talk, how they you know, like that. You know, you talk to an Italian, you move your arms around, you know, and then, you know, that they know what's going on. But if you don't, then it doesn't, you know, it's like a, how you say, most places in the world, when they count, you know, they count from these way or they count here. I mean, they count from here. You know, you start with the thumb and go out like that, or they start with the little finger and go out. But I'm not sure. I know definitely in America, but I'm not sure it's in many other places. They start with the index finger, but you have to hold your other fingers with your thumb, and then they go like that. So 1, 2, 3. So you know that's American. But then other places they go 1, 2, 3. And, you know, they're from there, or this one 1, 2, 3. You know, so depending on where it is, you know, you know how they deal, how they speak. And you know how they make arguments, you know, because it's just like, let's say you're going to someone's house and they're serving and you don't want to take anymore, right? So they send out the old grandmother, right? You know, so that, oh, take something from her hand, she wants to serve and all that, you know, and she's like 80 years old and takes three people to hold her up and, you know, another person to help her serve. It's just tricks and that. And then once you take that and all that, you still won't take any more. Then they bring out the 4-year-old kid. Oh, they want to help serve this, that, and, you know, like that. So it's just, you know how to deal with all these things, you know. Okay. 49, art of knowing provincial dialects, right? Because it's like, you know, the different, how they speak in the different areas out in the country, out in the city or in this kingdom or in these areas. And depending on where you are, they have more, you know, some places it's very short distances. You have the different dialects and some of them you have to go quite a distance to get them. But the point is, if you know how to do that, because there's some simple things, certain ways they say something. And then everything follows that. So if you know that, then with a little practice, you can speak. And that way, then either you can have fun doing that, but Shyana mentions that going out on a picnic in the countryside and the, you know, family and friends, then one of the funs to do is, since you're in the country, they speak in a provincial dialect. You know, they speak like they're, you know, out there, like they're country people or farmer people or whatever it is, and that's just part of the fun, is doing like that. But it also can be valuable if you're moving in that area, you speak like that, then they'll deal with you differently than if you don't. If they think you're from somewhere else, they may not deal with you, or they may not, or they may trick you or that. But if you speak local, then they don't bother you so much, you know. So both it has fun and practical, right? Also, like Vaishyas and that, one of the businessmen, one of the things is, the areas where they do business, if it's different languages or dialects, they need to know that. That's Manu mentions that. So if they're buying, you know, in this country and this, you know, and selling in another country, they have to know the dialects of all those and the language. Because otherwise, if you don't know, you don't know if they're giving you a good price or what they're saying behind your back. You know the language, you know everything. And you can argue and everything and get the right price. You can sell at the right price, all these things. So it has all, so all these things that, these are the arts that humans use in their day-to-day life and interactions and practical things and all that. So that's why it's important. 50, art of knowing prediction by heavenly voice, or knowing preparation of toy carts by flowers. Somehow or another, there's a principle behind both of those that are connected. So whenever they put these two together, there's some technique that go together like that. So how heavenly voices work, or toy carts by flowers. So there's some connection between that. What it is, I have no idea. But yeah, because there's some of these things, so many are lost and all that. 51, art of mechanics, you know, so how moving things with moving parts, and you have all those mechanics. If it's not moving and all that, that'll be the engineering. So like we said before, the chariots, it's both engineering and mechanics, right? Because you're going to have moving parts and you're going to have all the fixed parts, and how to, you know, they have to be strong because you're putting a lot of weapons in there. It's being pulled by a whole bunch of horses, you know, and stuff. And so you have to know what you're doing. like that. So, you know, they knew mechanics before. It was just they only used it how much was necessary. If you could do something simpler without, you know, very, very elaborate mechanics, they would do it. You know, why do something like you have an open drain, okay? And an open drain is very straightforward, right? Water goes into it, water runs down the other side and wherever it's going. Now you can say, oh, but no, we want to be more sophisticated, so we'll hide the drain, we'll cover it. But then the problem is either you can't get at it, you know, or it's very elaborate to get at it. Well, the other one is just all you have to do is just take a broom and sweep. So you can say, oh, but the open drain, it'll be dirty and this and that. No, not if you're clean. So if you're not clean, then you see they get into these more so-called sophisticated. It's because the lifestyle is funky, therefore they try to cover it, hide it. You know, it's like I say, they don't take a bath, so they put on perfumes. Right? Yeah, that kind of thing. So here is that, then you know the mechanics, and then you keep things simple, because if it can be done, it's just like you have a long stone, you know, a flat stone, and that and a round one, and you can use that to grind spices. Why get into something else? That stone will work forever. You know, while the other one worked for a short time and then it breaks. Now what do you do with it? The other one, it's stone. Even if it breaks, you know, you can use something. You can keep the door open with it or something. Are you going to use your blender to keep the door open? No, you're going to throw it out. Yeah. 9, art of the use of amulets. You know, so then the different amulets, how you do medicinal ones and that, because they've mentioned before, astrological ones, because I mentioned all that stuff before. And that, you know, how to, you know, what to wear, where to wear it, you know, what times, what different things, or, you know, that kind of stuff, what herbs to put, what mantras, all these things like that. 53, the art of conversation. Right, because to be able to discuss with someone and people feel comfortable and relaxed, and you know, it enhances relationships and everything goes very nicely. If people all feel don't know what to do, then you don't develop relationships. And so then when there's gatherings, or you just have an acquaintance you happen to meet, or you're having a meal, then all this art of conversation comes up very nice. Or if you have to get something done, you come up and talk to somebody very nicely, and then you can get things can happen. Right? 54, art of composing verse mentally. Right? So how to put the verses together and all that. So there'll be some technique, there's some art to it. You know, it's like what you're starting with, what do you want to do? Because it all comes up from, okay, what is it you're trying to affect? And that, so that'll give you your basic thing. Then from that, it'll be, okay, well, what kind of movements, I mean, or what is the underlying kind of dynamic, kind of principle? Then what is the actual movement? Then what things make that movement or are involved in making the movement happen? Does that make sense? And then what would be, how would that, you know, then what would be the nice sound of that? So therefore, you might have two words that could do the thing, but then the one has a sound that will work better, or you need, you know, in here I need two syllables, so I have a one syllable word, a two syllable, a three syllable to do the same thing. So then I can put them together, or I can move them. You know, that's the thing. By using the grammar, I may put them in a different order because the endings then define how it works. Right? So if you move them around, that's why verses, then sometimes you see when they're translated, something at the end of the verse is put in the beginning of the translation or vice versa. Like that, because, you know, by the things you can move around, so you just put it into however will be the best to, you know, put it together nicely, it flows nicely. So that's what you want. 55, you know, and that will also go by, you know, solving enigmatic verses, solving riddles, capping, reciting verse, you know, these different things. So all these things go together. You see, there are different various aspects of one thing, all these language things and that, you know, the cooking, the medical, the mechanical kind of elements like that, you know, the fine arts, the performing arts, you know, or I mean, sorry, the visual arts, performing arts, you know, yeah. So all these different things are there, recreation, all these are all the different categories that all these are in. And so then there's just certain refinements within them that come out that are very nice, very standard. So these are the ones that Srimati Radharani will use in the pastimes in Braj, right? It doesn't mean it doesn't have all the details, but it has this main element and it has all the details behind it. Like if you say art of dancing, that means all the different steps, all the hand movements, all the face movements, all the different rhythms that you can use. It means the whole thing, but it just means how much of it you're going to use at a particular time, you use that particular aspect. Another situation you might do differently. Okay, 55. Art of designing a literary work or a medical remedy. So there must be something that you have to go through how it works. It means you're going to bring things together and then introduce, then there's going to be some development and interaction, then some obstacle will come up, then there's trying to overcome the obstacle, and then finally overcoming the obstacle. So medical remedy must work in a similar way, that there's some symptoms and that are going on now. How to address those and go together, and then you bring them this, but then this is the actual root. You go after the root, remove that, and then your disease is gotten rid of. Right? So that's what I'm meaning, that things that don't seem to, there's some basic principle that is there that they work on the same thing. But because it's in a different area, that you talk about it in one area, you're talking about another, it's got different names and all that. But the principle is the same.
You've got to be creative with both and also
Yes.
know the different interactions of different elements.
Yes, exactly. So the higher thing means in the Vedic system, you're dealing with Krishna. Krishna is one, it's all him. But because of the uniqueness of the manifestation, therefore you get different you give different names to it. And you may have different basic details of technique, but the principle is all, everything's Sambandha Vidheya Prayojan. Everything has its existence, this mechanical thing it can do. Existence, uniqueness, what do you call it? It's the mechanics that it can perform and the result it can get. Everything has like that. So that's your aspect, Sambandha Vidheya Prayojana. There's nothing that doesn't fall within that because that comes from Krishna and he's Satchidananda. Does that make sense? So the same way as these are, they'll have very things that are similar, but then you're going just like the singing. You want to get a mood. There's a singing thing. You want the musical instrument. How you'll get that singing with the voice on the instrument. That'll have a technique like that. That same mood can be projected through the dancing, like that, or and the theatrics that'll be there, the facial expressions and all these different things. So all that can go together, the singing, the musical instrument, the dancing, the theater, the how you say, the cosmetics, and the thing, all will project a certain mood. So, but each one of what's doing it, when you use it in your voice, so you'll use particular terms. If you're doing the same thing on instrument, you'll use the different terms. You're doing it with the dancing, they'll have different terms, but they're all connected. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Fifty-six, art of practicing as a builder of shrines called after him, right? So how to build temples and different things that bring out, where you can worship Krishna, or worship Vishnu like this, depending on what you want to do. Does that make sense? So it's things how to do the different, what would be a nice thing to put together for a temple or a place to worship Krishna or a place to make a nice seat for Krishna, like that, and these kind of aspects.
Would that include the Vastu and things like that as well?
Well, those will go back into those. Those will be the sciences behind. The art is the technique that you're using. Shastra will give the theory behind it. When you use the two together, that's called science. So someone can know the art, but not the theory. So it's not science, but they can do it. Like I remember when we were they were doing the temple, the Radhamadava's temple in Mayapur, then the ceiling and all the different design work that's there done in plaster, they had this one person that came, you know, simple guy, you know, clever, but simple. And he had all these different things he'd put together because they would say, okay, we want to do this, this, and okay, we could do like that. He'd come up, he'd draw it up, and they'd make it. Because they would actually make the designs and that and then pour the plaster and stick it up. So I asked him, how do you, you know, what are you basing it on? He says, so there's some certain basic designs and you just have ways you can put them together. He doesn't necessarily know what the design means of that. He just knows that, you know, you need something bigger. You can do like this. You need smaller, you need longer, you need fatter, you need shorter. He just knew how to put them. So he knew the art of putting together plaster designs. He didn't necessarily know the background behind them and what it means or why this would be good in this for this flavor and that. He just knew that these designs work in this kind of, you know, are informal. These are formal. These are that. But he doesn't really know why. So the Shastras will explain all that background and give an indication of the art like that. But the art you have to learn from, you know, in other words, Shastra you have to learn from. Teacher there, you know, that does that, and the art you have to learn from teacher. So that makes the difference between what the Brahmin knows that's connected with the, you know, arts and sciences and what the Shudra knows. Right? Someone knows how to act and, you know, do the different things, but they don't know why that works or why that's important. That's why you see in the modern is that you stick to certain formulas in the way of putting together a drama or like that and dealings and all, then it's popular. People like it. You do something different from that, you know, oh, but that's always done. We want to do something unique. We want to express ourselves, do something. Why do the same old thing? We'll do something new and this, and they think I'm going to do something and everyone's going to be fabulous. It's the new thing. And it bombs. Because they're not following the laws. So in other words, you have the laws and that, and what's the theory behind that? And you have applying those laws as the art. So people may not know the law so much. They just know the art itself and maybe some basic aspects of law that, you know, that you can only put this with that. You can't mix something else. But those who know both, that's science. That's why nectar devotion is science. It's telling the theory and the art. And so you have to put them together. So we're probably saying know the art means know how to apply it. It has to be practical. Right? It's not just enough to have theory. That's why he says armchair speculators. They like to sit in their armchairs, comfortable, and think of this and that and talk all so many things. And, you know, that's supposed to be valuable. But only if you can apply it, it becomes valuable. Yes? No?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. 57, the art of the use of lexography and meters. Right, so lexography is vocabulary and meters. So how to use the lexography is how to use different vocabulary for things and how to use different meters like that. So, you know, we don't have so much, but you see is that like there would be meter. We don't use so much. It's just not a whole lot. We don't use so much. Means we don't. Others may, but hey, they're the idiots. We're the cool guys. Or, yeah, they're more educated. We're just simple things, so we don't use so much. You know, does that make sense? So that thing in Sanskrit, it's done through the different meters. The different meters have different flavors. They have different meanings. So depending on which ones you want, you know what to use. You know, what ones go with what and all that. So you learn how to do that. What vocabulary to use. You could use one vocabulary, but you don't. You use more. So lexography will be basically what is the vocabulary, what are the synonyms, what are the roots. You kind of know where it's coming from, so you know how it goes out. If I know the root is this, and that makes so many words, I can make sure I'm sticking to the root. You know, I'm getting the basic meaning, but I want this particular flavor or nuance, so I'll use that word, not this word. In one situation, it's formally used this word. Another, you'll use another word. It's not, yeah. Yeah, so you can see is language becomes a very, very nice, very important, because it's communication is there. So all these different ways that you can use the language to communicate and you know, create interaction between individuals. Okay, 58, art of concealment of clause. Not sure what's that one here. Probably have to see the technical if they explain it. Because sometimes it's that, depending on how they translated it, you know, they may know what it means, but it's not necessarily a general word, you know, so what concealment means. So it means this, how to put on clothes and so like that. And so that certain things, certain clothes are, you can, don't see certain ones you see, you know, or if there's some other meaning to it.
I've seen one thing that they do, that they can change their outfit completely without taking off any clothes.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, they have something and then they pull it down and it's completely different color to completely different style of outfit like that. And they can do it like 4 or 5 times to change their appearance.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it must be one of the things you can use in, you know, for fun or for in the drama or different things like that. So,
yeah.
Because most of these things, you see that there is some connection together, like art of knowing provincial dialects. Then if you're doing theatricals, then, you know, depending on who it is, a person's from here, you should talk like that. And someone's from there, you should talk in that way. So that's mentioned, is that, you know, villagers, you would use this, because it mentions the different kinds of, you know, you have Prakrit, you have Sanskrit, you have, you know, some other things. And then they mention that these kind of persons will talk like this, these ones like this. And, you know, because you wouldn't want the king to talk unless he's from, unless they're from the East End, then the king and queen should talk, you know, in a, what do you call it, in RP, right? But if they're king and queen from the East End, then yes, they may talk differently. You know what I'm saying? Because if you had the pearly king and queen talking with you know, in the king or queen's English, you'd think that's weird. And if you had the king or queen, you know, talking in Cockney, then you'd think that's weird. So, you know, everybody's got it. You have to present. So,
yeah.
So you understand. So there's all these things, but you can put them together in various combinations. Does that make sense? You know, just for fun, just like, let's say I've cooked I know dialect, so I've cooked something from a particular region. And if you're just, it's not a formal situation, but it's just some friends in that. When I'm serving, I can talk in the local dialect that goes with the food. And it'll add to some, the fun, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can mix so many of these all together. That 59, art of knowing specific gambling, right? So certain kinds of, specific means it's just not all gambling, but it's like how it works and how to do, because there's so many tricks and all that are used. So there's a whole art that's used there, even just like the dice. Oh, here's the next one, art of playing with dice or magnet. So the dice is that how I hold the dice, I put them in my hand, and therefore then, and how I roll them, if you practice at it, I can put the dice in a particular way in my hand, so when I throw them, I'll get the particular number I want. You know, it's just practice like that. That's why you see gamblers are always there throwing their dice. They're on their own, they're throwing dice. You think, what are they doing? Wasting their time. They're getting it, so if they want a 9, they throw it, they get a 9. They throw it, they get a 10. They throw it, they know how to put them in their hands. So they just pick up the dice, you know, like this, you know, move them over there, or they know different ways to throw it. So if they pick it up, because if people know, I pick it up, you know, I have it in my hand, it's a number I can work with, not I can shake it a bit, no one will say anything. If you shake it, that's part of the ritual, right? And so then I get it to a number I want, and I know that, okay, if I throw it, you know, more open or more closed or shorter or longer, I'll get the number I want. So depending on whatever they have in their hand, they can throw it, they can get any number you want. Because you have 12 numbers you can have in your hand when you pick it up, and 12 numbers that you want to get when it goes down. So that means, well, it'd be 144 combinations. So they know all the better they are, the more they know. And so you have all those things. And, or magnet, you know, how to put magnets together. You play, you know, put them one way, they don't go together. The other way, they do. How you can build things with them and, you know, make nice, funny things and stuff. Because we see next, then it comes 61. Art of using children's toys. It also might be the art of concealment of clothes goes along with, what was that other one? Not sleight of hand, the art of sleight of hand, you know, so it can also be that kind of thing, or jugglery, you know, these kind of can go together. And then playing with dice or magnet, then it's next one is six, art of using children's toys. How to, you know, use them in such a way that you can create things and do things and, you know, keep the children busy. Because the point is this, if you're dealing in any kind of social environment, there's always children. So there's always going to be a need. The bigger ones can, you know, learn and sit there and be quiet and listen and learn things and be part of the thing or take part if they're a little bigger. But the little dinky ones, you have to be taking care of them. So if someone's over in the corner playing with the kids, no one will mind because that's just the way it goes. So you have to know how to, you know, how to use toys and do things that they're inspired, that they're engaged, you know, that they don't yell and scream. 62, art of enforcing discipline, right? So that using the toys, you also have to, you know, keep everybody in line. So discipline, how to get everybody to do what you need to do, you know, and that can be used also by the different language, things like that, and aspects, and you just find ways to do. Like I remember, say, you know, I say in the back of the class, you know, in the temple, then you have that the book distribution table there, you know, very big like that with all the glass showing all the different things, books, paraphernalia and that. So many times, and ladies will sit in the back with, you know, the very small kids, the toddlers or babies. And then, you know, the kid starts, you know, banging on the glass because he's facing that way. He starts banging on the glass and then the mom will just, you know, point us out, ooh, like that. Kid forgets about the glass and is looking over that direction. You know, like that, and then they play and do different things or get out the toys and like that, and, you know, can get their attention and all that. They're doing something, you know, you shake them a little bit, you do or touch them and stuff. Well, I've seen others, you know, the kid starts on this and then they start crying. They don't, they have to leave and go outside. Then they can deal with that in a more, it's not as refined. They figure it out, but you see some of these ladies, it doesn't matter what the kid's doing. He's going to start crying. They point out something else or do something or make a face. Like I've seen that some days the kid's there and he's, you know, facing back. I'm sitting behind, the kid's crying and I'll just look at him or something. And the kid actually stops for a moment and interacts with you. But, you know, I don't know what to do more than that. And just, you know, but he stops. And because then when, you know, I can't keep the attention, then he'll go back to crying. But if you can keep the attention, then you're doing, you know, like that. And then, does that make sense? I've seen it before. I've seen where, been in an airport or different places and then kids doing something and all that and, you know, distracted or disturbed and somebody behind, you have some person, you know, behind or the side and then they're interacting with the kid and then the mother's kind of like, what's going on here? Why is the kid laughing? And now she turns and then sees, right? So it's that, you know, that's the thing. That's these arts, you know, how to deal with those things. And so from doing that, then it works very good. Could be also, it's like when you start. Like those who start taking care of babies when they're, you know, a toddler, you know, then they have, I remember one class and all that, there'd be the mother, there'd be the baby, and there would be other young girls there, you know, like 7, 8, 10, and they could, these little girls could take care of the kid the whole time, never cry, never this, never anything, always busy, always this, that. Or the mother, because the mother wants to listen to the class, then if these little girls will take care, she just leaves it with them because she wants to focus, because otherwise, hard to focus on the class and the kid. But these little girls, they're not too worried about the class. So then they're just doing and keeping them busy, and they never cry like that. But then, they've started from when they're really young.
Yeah, I was always surrounded by little children. So from the age of 8, I could be left with a child alone.
Yeah.
And was taken care fully.
Yeah, because then it's a fun. It means the little girls like playing with dolls. I mean, this doll, and then, you have, the dolls that, sometimes you have the little string you can pull and then they'll talk something, or you can drink water and then they'll wet their pants, or, all these kind of things. But you have one that's actual a real baby. So that'll be way more fun than playing with the doll, And so then, it's for them, it's fun, if you're, how you say, what do you call it? It's like 38 years old, you're, a senior partner in your law firm and all that. And now you have a baby and all that. And then it's not as easy. You can take down anybody in court, but this baby is going to take you down, So now who's the boss girl? That 3-month-old kid or you, right? So, yeah. 63, art of gaining victory, how to go through and that, and using all these different things that you're using, how to gain victory, like that. What is the technique, how to get through, just like we're saying, how to, a drama or a remedy, medical remedy, but also victory through this and do that, and how you bring it up to here and that, and bring it over there. And all the techniques that are there that you can use. So whether it's a discussion, or whether it's you being able to enforce discipline, or you be able to keep the kid happy all the time, it's getting done what you want to get done and know what's the art, because otherwise, if you don't, you come up to an obstacle, then you stop, don't know what to do, but you can move around it. You start doing this, and the kid doesn't respond, you move that way or that, or you deal with somebody in the conversation, you say one thing, it doesn't respond, you can go another way, because you know how to deal with all these different elements, and therefore how to. And 64, art of awakening master with music at dawn, right? So you don't just come in and, you don't start off with you don't start off with, Beethoven's fifth or the ninth, You start out with something very, and then suddenly make it happen and then come up and all that. It's just like putting to sleep. You're playing the regular, and then you just, when you're coming to the end, you just start slowing the music down. You're playing the same music, but you just slow until it stops. Like a music box is going full, and then it starts to run out, and it just gets less and less and less and stops. So you know how to start from that and bring it up, and how to that, and what you do. So you don't start with a pair of cymbals and a gong and a tuba, right? Like that. You start off with nice things and what things work, which instruments start, and then bring it up. And then, at some point, then you can bring in the drums. You don't start with them, and stuff, things like that. And so then you, when it's going, like, does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. So how to wake up Radha and Krishna in the morning, so that'll be part of what they do.
Would there be particular instruments that they're more likely to use waking Radha and Krishna? Or
I would expect, like I said, they're not going to come in with those big, this big, hand cymbals, they're like that.
Probably more string instruments like that. Sitar.
Yeah, I would think they're going to be sit. Or they might even start with very big ones, very low sounds, very slow sounds, and something come in, or something very pleasant, something very fresh. Also, it'd probably be seasonal, because in the summer light will be, sleep will be a little different than in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also be, warmer, things move quicker, so in the winter is slower, you move. So I'm sure there's a whole thing on this.
Did you used to sing Geet Govinda at that sort of time at dawn?
No, it would be after Mangalarti, between Mangalarti and Darshanarti.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept
Hare
my humble
Krishna.
obeisances.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I just remember that I was reading Kavikanapura's book about the Ashtakala Leelas, that the parrots are waking up the divine couple with poetry.
Oh, okay.
So the female parrots are waking up Radharani, and male parrots wake up Krishna with different types of poetry. I remember one nice poetry where female parrots are saying that the moon is going to commit suicide in the eastern, no, western horizon, because she's so ashamed that she's not so as beautiful as Radharani. So it's different types of poetry, which are sang by the different parrots in Vrindavan. I can't remember that I read about some music there.
Yeah, no, it's all, those things will be there also. And
Mm.
and it's also different times they could do. It's not that they have to use one every time. It's just different things, because point is here is, if you say, if you're also using the moon and all that, then it's going to go, because the moon goes red just before it goes down. You know, it can, depending on the season. So it would have to be a season where the moon does turn red. But then it also means that it's the end of the night. Right? So that
Yeah,
means you got to get up, you know,
yeah, it's the end of the night.
because if the moon's in the middle of the sky and it's bright and all that, it won't have any meaning. So also it would have more meaning when it's like near full. So then when you have a full moon and stuff like that, you would use that. When it's a dark moon, you'd use some other poetry.
Is there any art which they're learning regarding the omens?
You mentioned about art of knowing prediction by heavenly voice, knowing the preparation of that. That was in here. It doesn't bring out so much there. That'd be just some of the things. Those are arts. Those would be things that they would learn, because it also mentions Krishna arts and sciences. So I think you might get some of those there. You get some other things. Like these ones are the ones of Radharani's, and you see Krishna's.
Oh,
They're
okay.
basically the same main categories, but there might be some details that are different. You know, so it might be the girls know one group and the boys know another, you know, similar group. So either they can be combined, or sometimes one will come up, start the interaction based on one thing and involve the others, and the others have that. But there's something in common that, you know, like here, the art of gaining victory. So it doesn't matter who starts, then, you know. So these are all just there to create. And this will be for them, you know, for their interaction. Also, like you see, engineering, this and that. Any art can be included, you know, in 64 arts. It's just a matter of who's 64 arts. This is Radharani and the Gopis 64 arts. It's what's in the Krishna book. That's Krishna's 64 arts. Right? But basically in Vrindavan, it'll be based off of Radharani's. But, you know, when you go into Dwarka and all that, then you're going to have those ones coming up. You know, there'll be some slight variation that'll be there. But if, let's say, it's for the Brahmins, there might be other things, like how to make a Brahmin thread, you know, or for the Shudras, then how they're going to do, you know, different things like that, how to use a broom, or, you know, things like that. So, or the Vaishyas, you know, how to, you know, affect the, you know, bargain a price, or, you know, these different things. They're arts, but they'll learn them in the context of their situation, their ashram, you know, their house environment, and their what they're doing. They're doing business. Then the younger kids will see how the adults, you know, make it work. Like, I remember once I was arguing a price with somebody, and I think I was pushing it too much. I wasn't allowing it to come up. He started the higher price. I was starting at the lower price. I wasn't budging as much as he was. Right? In other words, he's coming down more. It means he's willing to go down, but you have to come up. He wants to meet farther up there. if he's not hardly coming down, he wants to keep it up, or you know, unless you know the price. But in this one, I think I wasn't moving much, so he was saying, you know, let's say it's like 100, you know, and I'm saying, you know, whatever it is, you know, 20, you know, and this and that. He's okay, 80, and let's that, and then I'm only going like 25, and he's getting, you know, we're getting down to, and I think he gets to the price that is actually a good price. You know, it's actually a good price, you know, and in other words, it's a price he's comfortable with, and you know, either it's on the fair side or it's even he's being a little generous. Let's say it's like 50, and I'm still not accepting the 50. I'm still, you know, doing 35 or something. So then he'll go, yeah, no, 75, right? And so then I'll go, but you said 50. Okay, 50. So he got it. Just so these are things you learn by just being around those who deal with it. So that's the point of the arts. Arts are learned by association. It means you can be trained in them, but arts are learned by association. It means everything, of course, but you don't have a class so much on arts. It's by association, because even you have a class on acting, unless you're acting, you're not going to get it. Right? But in a class and discussion and knowing the theory that's there, you can actually understand the Shastra. But the art, it's actually by association. So that's why then Shudras learn from others by association. That's what Prabhupada mentioned. You don't need a school for that. You know? Unless it's specifically just about that art, you want to be an actor, you go to an art, you know, an acting school, and then you learn, then fine, that works. But you go, basically, you just have to go to somebody who knows that. But it's like, you know, going for learning all the history, this, that. If it's not connected with the art, what's the point? You know, so that would be the difference.
Yes, Maharaj. And
Okay.
in the Gurukul, how many of these arts were they learning? The boys?
You could only put in some, because see, when it comes to education, then very few people can relate. Because if you're doing arts, no, but what about, language and math and how to make money, something practical. It's kind of like, yeah, but these are practical for human beings and human interaction. No, but they could learn that anywhere. You know, we're sending them to school to get a degree so they can get a job and make money and be successful in life. And yeah, and then what about his relationships? You know, so you don't have that, or you know, so these things, because they're only up to a certain point, they're not so much. You're showing the basic things, and then they go through and how much they get. Like, you know, in drama, you're only showing a basic amount so that they have an interest in it. You know, so either they're willing to watch or they're willing to take part and things like that. And then if they want to go into that and study, then they would do a serious study on drama, and then what are all the different elements and how that goes. And then you'd have to, you know, get a more degree, and if you want to go finer than that, then you would need to have a teacher that could teach you all those fine points. But the idea is the general, everybody should know a certain amount of stuff. You know, everybody knows how to, you know, the kirtan, how to play mridanga, how to play kartals, you know, light a ghee lamp, how to put the oil, how to make the wicks, you know, all these different things people know. But generally speaking, most people don't see that as important, because in their education, they never did any of that. I mean, didn't do any of that. I mean, like, nothing. You know, so most people don't have an appreciation of it. So you have it, then they'll appreciate as long as everything else is very good. But push comes to shove, if the English and math isn't strong, they couldn't care less about anything else. Even though they can chant the whole Purusha Shukta, Bhagavad Gita frontwards and backwards, if they're not going to make money off of it, nobody cares. So, in other words, it's about the you have to refine the culture, and that will only happen by chanting. Chanting, direct activities, devotional service. So you'll see with time all these things come up. Now, if I just run an art school, then that's nice and all that, but will they get a degree and will they be able to go to Juilliard? Will they be able to be on Broadway? Will they be an A-lister in Hollywood? And if not, then oh, what's the use of your program? It's kind of like, oh, is your kid an actor? Oh, my kid dropped out of the heavenly planets. He's better than everybody, So, yeah. Mix ignorance with illusion, and that's what you're dealing with. I'm not sure if that was the answer you wanted, but otherwise, if you want to be more specific,
Thank you, Maharaj.
then art of singing, we dealt with that. We dealt with musical instruments, dancing, not so much. Theatricals, we did in the beginning a bit. Until the temple w took over and they wanted to do everything. Painting, not so much. Unguents, not so much. Offering some rice and flowers. Garlands, the kids at one point took over and made all the garlands for Radha Madhava and everything like that until the ladies figured out that, they could do it. And so they came in and kicked them out. Then covering for bed, cleaning, how to clean the body, clothes. Like that, we taught that. Jewels, no. How to make your bed, yes. Playing music on water, no. Art of splashing, we taught that. Okay, colors, no. Preparation of wreaths, we saw with the garlands. Setting cornet, no. Practical dressing, that we taught. Not about that. Aromatics, not really. Ornaments, jugglery, no. Sleight of hand. Cooking and drinks, that we were teaching. Playing with thread, we showed that for the kids. Capping memory, remembering verses, like that, reciting books, short plays, and that we did a little bit. Carpentry, we had options for kids in the early days to do, like that, but it's like mineralogy, we've gone through a little bit. Idea was there to do. Some we wanted to do all the home treatments and all that. Combing hair showed that. I mean, when you have a sika this big, it doesn't take a long time. It's like a 30-second class, like that. Provincial heavenly mechanics, amulets, conversation. Kind of, we tried a bit, for Prashad. Yeah, concealing, gambling, discipline, victory. Yeah, so we probably about a third of them we had. So we had a group a list of the 64 arts that we would do for the kids and all that. But that's the thing is that on the Vedic approach, then it always comes back to what's needed, the reality in the world. So, because before going to Gurukul would be, basically Brahmin Kshatriyas, maybe high grade aristocratic Brahmins, I mean Vaishnavas. And so they didn't have to worry about it. That means the family already is Brahmins. All he has to do is do that. And you're learning all the mantras. You're learning all the yajna and pujas. So as it is, a Brahmin can come out of the school and doing those things, he could take care of himself. The Kshatriya is going to go into administration. He can just do that. It's not a problem. Like that. Vaishya, the family's doing business, so he learns character, culture, refinement, and then he'll learn business in the family. But for Shudras, then they have the thing if you haven't learned it in school and all that and passed all the tests and all that, then you don't get anything. Unless you want to be fine arts or skilled trades or like that, but then that's not prestigious. You want to be the professional, and so yeah. No?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember I was reading that list in the Krishna book and I was thinking, what? From where can we learn these things? It was like, felt
Yeah.
for me like something which maybe
Yeah.
is
Well, I
already
mean,
forgotten.
when we brought it up, we were going to be teaching and all that. Some of the previous older Gurukulis, from America and all that, and other schools, they said if they were teaching that, we would have been very, very, we would have liked it. They would have been very inspired. But yeah. So the whole point is that this is education for humans.
Thank you, Manish. Very interesting. Thank you.
Tatfaji.
If I understood right, the artist Apide, I'm not sure, it was a little disconnecting, is the theory Sambandha.
Yeah, it means you'll have the theory Sambandha Gyan. You know, you call it Sambandha Gyan, but it'll have the theory behind Abhideya and Prayojana also, the connection, because you have the theory, but you have to see how the theory would be applied, what result it would get. That's why then when you're talking about the theory, you're talking about Sankarshan Prajumna and Aniruddha, Sankarshan, yeah, Prajumna and Aniruddha. And then when you apply it as Abhideya, that's Vasudeva. So you've already studied the theoretical aspects of Abhideya and the theoretical aspects of what goal you can get. And then, you know, it'd be just like, let's say you sit down, you make a whole plan on what you're going to do and everything and all that and details of who does what, everything like that, you know, who's doing what aspect, what results you're looking for, what kind of thing you're trying to get. So all aspects of, you know, the relationship process and result you're discussing, but you're all sitting in chairs. Now, when you leave the room and go out and do it, that's the actual Abhideya. That's Vasudeva. So you have the theoretical aspect. So you can therefore call those three together in theory, Sambandha Gyan. Right? If it just Sambandha just means that part of it, the field and all that, and that basically includes everything, but there is going to be the technical points of mechanically how it works or what goal can be gotten. So you can't really separate them. It's just where you're putting the emphasis. Does that make sense?
So then, yeah. So then, what is science?
Science is when you have understood that and you're applying it. Science means both. So when Abhideya is, you're applying the art based on the theory. See, if you don't know the art, you only know the theory, and you're trying to apply it, it won't work out. If you know the art and not the theory, some aspects will work out, but some won't. But when you know both, that's when it works the best.
So is that goal? Is that goal? Is science?
No, no. Science is simply the, you could say, the best application of Abhideya mechanically. Your goal is to please Krishna. So Abhideya will mean that you're performing the activity to please Krishna. So when you have qualification and you have knowledge, that together is going to make it, because the qualification means you can perform the art, and the knowledge means you know how it works and what's behind it. So when the two go together, that's when the Abhideya is the best. Like someone can cook and know nothing about actually the theory of cooking and all that. They just know how to do certain things and they can cook it very well, but they don't know any science behind it. Well, you have some guys that have gone to, you know, one of these French chef, you know, culinary shoot things. They know a theory coming out their ears and this with that, but they're not necessarily great cooks or inspired cooks, because the art is not strong for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it makes us interested to
yeah.
put the science to the right place.
Yeah, well, it's just like, let's say like this. You have the soldiers. Then they've been taught the art of fighting. Right? They know how to stand. They know how to lie down. They know how to hide behind a tree. They know how to change fire the weapon, how to change the ammo, what weapon to use in what situations, kind of things like that. And then you're going to have the those that know the theory. They know fighting strategy and all those kind of things like that. And they can tell, yes, the strategies, these are done here and there. And, you know, in this battle, then Napoleon did this. And in this battle, then, you know, that one did that, and so many things like that. Then you have the higher officers who they know that art and they know that theory. That will be then your best application. Does that make sense? That's the science. So when you're applying it, that's abhidhaya, but how much knowledge and qualification you have will be the more great, because like we said, in the arts, you have those who have a general knowledge, those who are expert, and those who are master. And then if you could have the same, those who have a general understanding of the theory, those who, you know, are expert in certain aspects of certain theories, and those who are master of it and knows how it applies in any situation. Because expert means in particular situations, they can do very well. Right? But in certain other situations, they can't. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, you have the person that at home on their piano that sits in the corner that no one ever uses. They can play a little bit. They went to some classes, they can play a little bit, but not much. Then you have the person in the, you know, auditorium that are very expert at piano. And if you have that kind of thing, the first class piano, everything's there, it's first class, they're dressed, everyone's dealing nicely, they can sit down and they can play, and they're very good. But you take them outside of that, you sit, you, they visit somebody's house and they have that funny piano sitting there on the side, they may or may not be able to play because it's below them. You know, no, I only play on the grand piano and this and that and only on this, you know, I don't play on that one. You know, I only play whatever it is, Steinbeck, and I don't play Yamaha, you know, like this kind of thing. The master, they could play on anything. You could give them even those little kids, little ones this big, you know, the little plastic ones, and they could play with the kids and play different things and keep have the kids laughing and all that because they're master. They can apply it anywhere. You know, you must have seen that somebody, if everything's perfect, then that officer can get things done. But if it's not, you know, that something goes crazy, then they can't do anything. And other officers, then no matter how crazy it is, they could figure out how to get out of it. That makes sense? So that's just the different levels of what's going on. But abhidhaya means when you actually apply it. When you're discussing it, even though you're discussing abhidhaya, but you're discussing the theory of it. So it's technically it's still part of sambandhagyan. Right? But you know, if you're seeing that overall, if you're just going into the details of it and how it works, then yes, like nectar devotion, it goes to the details of how it works, showing examples of how devotees have applied it and all that. So that's the point. It's getting the theory and then giving an example of a devotee applying it. So therefore, it's showing the science. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we'll end now. We've, right? Yeah, we've gone. Okay, Jai Ho, Hari Bhav. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Jai Nitai.
Thank you.